Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. NFTs are cashing in multi-million dollar paydays for artists, news outlets, concert promoters, and seemingly everyone in between every day. And it makes sense as our world is going digital and crypto and blockchain are on the rise. Curious what an NFT really is? Well, on this episode, AI technology entrepreneur Kenneth Koe and Steelers linebacker Cassius Marsh are demystifying NFTs and sharing the power of NFTs as a collectible.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Come to Game, where we flip the script on the old-school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
I feel like this episode needs a Friends title, like the one where an AI expert and NFL linebacker help us finally understand NFTs. As I was trying to put together some great intro about what an NFT was to share with you, I went online and decided to let an article on The Verge do it for me. So it says, at the very core level, most NFTs are part of the Ethereum blockchain. Ethereum is a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, but its blockchain also supports these NFTs, which store extra information that make them work differently. The cool thing is that an NFT can be anything digital, art, music, drawings, you name it. And if it can be digital, it can be an NFT. That's where Cassius and Kenneth, the founders of Owner, a full-service NFT creation and distribution company, come in. They are here to explain how this venture is seeking to put artists and athletes on the center stage to own their creative projects and final sale revenues. Their mission? Make sure the NFT subject sees the profits for the use of their likeness, and you get to own an NFT that has some value. I'm so excited to share this really awesome conversation with you. I'm Shauna Compton-Game, and this is Millennial Money. Well, as I mentioned before we started rolling, we have done quite a few episodes over the last few months on cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, altcoin, you name it. But I'm really excited to talk to you about a subject that I admittedly don't know a lot about. And I know the listeners don't know a lot about, but you guys do. So we're in a good place. NFTs. So I just kind of want to start at the beginning. What is an NFT? Like, what does that even mean?
I could take that. So, it basically stands for a non-fungible token, right? It's just a piece of crypto jargon. Really, what you should think about it as is a delivery vehicle. It's a contractual delivery vehicle, right? So, Basically, think about it as a way to pass data from one party to the other with certain stipulations, right? So the contract can be, an exchange of capital, so either fiat or crypto, for an asset, like a digital asset, kind of how we're used to thinking of NFTs, like a digital piece of art or, an MP4 file, et cetera. That's basically how you should think about an NFT.
So how is then like an NFT different than other types of crypto? Is there something to differentiate it?
An NFT is in and of itself is not a cryptocurrency per se. An NFT is minted on a blockchain. So like on the Ethereum blockchain or, you could have your own. It utilizes the other blockchain technologies. And then the NFT is basically sits on top of that.
Okay. I think I have it. In Cassius, I know you've really been into collectibles for years, and that's really what sparked your interest in NFTs. I hear you might even have a prized Pokemon card collection. Where did your love for cards come from?
I've been in trading cards since I was a young kid. I think what kind of sparked it up for me was just Pokemon, like the show. And the Game Boy games, I was on that stuff nonstop. When I was younger, I couldn't really afford much of the actual trading cards, but the Game Boy game really just like got me super into it. So I had some Pokemon cards, and then Yu-Gi-Oh dropped. I was like really, really into Yu-Gi-Oh. It was like a very simple game, pretty cheap back then. So my mom would. Yeah. That was like my Christmas presents and my birthday presents. And then when I was like 11, I found Magic the Gathering. And that's when my passion for trading cards like really blossomed. And, ever since then, I've been collecting Magic the Gathering pretty seriously. Obviously, once I got money and got into the NFL, that collecting got a lot more significant, but I've been in trading cards for a really long time, and it's always been a passion of mine. So that's why I started my company, my trading card shop, Cash Cards Unlimited, and got into this space from a professional standpoint. And it's kind of how I was linked to my guy Kenneth here, a good friend of mine from college, Chuck. Kind of told him my story and my knowledge base for, collectibles, which NFTs really are. And, the rest is kind of history.
Did you know much about NFTs before you and Kenneth kind of commingled brain power, or was that something that you learned about through the relationship?
I knew a little bit. I knew the bare minimum amount, to understand what it was. I still didn't understand a good amount of, I didn't understand a good amount of it. And Kenneth obviously put me on with a lot of that type of stuff, informed me on you know, all of the details and like what exactly it is. And, you know, it's really not that complicated. It seems like it would be, but, you know, to me, the easiest way to describe an NFT is, it's basically a trading, like it's a trading card and cryptocurrency like tied together.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And Kenneth, I was wondering if you could give us like a little insight, because we're hearing about like NFTs, or at least I am, everywhere now. I'm reading articles about it. And a year ago, it was, at least in my universe, hardly written about. What's causing this to kind of be everywhere all of a sudden?
My background is in artificial intelligence, and sort of the early days of crypto and AI, basically, yeah. You know, it's concentric circles, right?
Right. It all goes together.
Yeah. If it's a Venn diagram, it's basically just one circle, with complete overlap and intersection. So I've been in the crypto space for quite a while. You know, the concept of an NFT is not new and it's not novel. If you take a look at some of the stuff that Larva Labs, who created CryptoPunks, was working on, you know, as early as like 3-4 years, maybe probably 3 years ago in 2017, during this whole like ICO boom, Larva Labs really had a very innovative approach to cryptocurrencies, and kind of, I think we can track a lot of the NFT development back to Larva Labs and CryptoPunks. They basically, when they first generated it, they basically algorithmically randomized pixels and created these icons, these, you know, quote unquote CryptoPunks. And then anyone with a ledger address could just get them airdropped to them for free. Yeah. So sort of fast forward 3 years and this explosion really started with a combination of CryptoPunks and NBA Top Shot. So when the NBA partnered and started this joint venture with Dapper Labs, that's kind of when NFTs got catapulted into the mainstream.
Right. Wow. And I mean, do you think like lots of industries are going to be utilizing NFTs? Like, is this the wave of the future?
So yes, I do believe so. You know, and I think with every big movement in the crypto space, I think comes in waves, right? So there's, you know, there's going to be peaks and valleys and sort of massive accelerations, and then, you know, sort of you'll hit a valley. So NFTs are definitely here to stay. You can sort of attribute a lot of staying power to legacy organizations buying in, right? So, you know, Sotheby's auction house now has their sort of own NFT arm. eBay today just announced that they would be accepting and selling NFTs. So I think there's definitely mainstream acceptance. Now, it's not like kind of the frothy market that it was when NFTs first dropped and, you know, everyone and their mothers was launching an NFT and, you know, selling for, you know, quite a bit of money. I think the market now has shown what it will bear, in the sense that only sort of the higher profile NFTs really get sold for a good amount. And that's why you see on these platforms like Bondly and Rarible and OpenSea, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of unsold NFTs, or, you know, NFTs that are going for like 0.01 ETH,
right,
which doesn't even recover the gas fees. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like, kind of piggybacking on that, I was sharing with my husband that you both were going to be on the show. We were talking about NFTs, and he's like, I just don't get it. I mean, as many times as I explained, he's like, I don't understand where the value comes from or how an NFT is valued. Can you guys help me like understand this? You know, how does an NFT get or retain value?
It's a collectible, you know, it's a collectible. So it's like asking a question of how Pokemon cards retain value. It's like the same kind of world. It just is, you know, like, I've said this in some interviews before, but you know, our world is just going completely digital. And so what NFTs are, just like the first example of digital collectibles, actually probably not even the first. The first examples to me would be like in video games, if you're playing Fortnite or if you're playing Call of Duty, you spend money on outfits and guns and different like emojis and different like all this different stuff that's completely digital. It doesn't help improve your video game play. It doesn't help improve anything. It's just a digital property that carries value. And actually within that game, like within Fortnite especially, there's super rare skins that like people will pay for your profile because you have like a bunch of the rare skins. So that would be probably to me the first example of like digital assets from a collectible standpoint. But now NFTs are kind of a new example. And it's hard to put a hard answer on where the value comes from. I guess it comes from the collectibility.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Kenneth.
Yeah, absolutely, Cash. I think that's absolutely right. To expand a little bit, I think there's a very the culture around cryptocurrency is very and sort of the crypto space is very much internet culture, right? And so that's why the highest prices for certain pieces of NFT that there's the various NFTs that we've seen have generally been sort of originated from internet culture, right? The memes, the first Jack Dorsey tweet, Elon Musk's, you know, NFT EDM song. It's very like deep meta internet culture. And it makes sense, right? Because the people who are considered the crypto whales are very much embroiled in this culture, right? And so, you know, for them to sort of shell out this amount of money to be able to go and buy these collectibles is very much sort of staking their place in internet history. It's like owning a Mona Lisa, right?
Right.
Or a Picasso or something like that.
Right. And then it has whatever value it has depends on potentially what someone would buy it from you for. I mean, and like you're saying about Elon Musk, it's the name recognition of it, whatever that might be, determines to some extent the just like inherent value of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're starting to see an inflection point where, the inherent value is now catching up to the liquidity in the market, right? So it's getting more difficult to offload certain NFTs because, you know, the market just doesn't bear it anymore.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. We have an Ask Shauna from Rachel. Rachel says, "Hi, Shauna, my name is Rachel, and instead of a question, I just really want to say thank you for the show. I was a complete mess financially a few years ago, and thanks to the Millennial Money podcast, I've turned things around. What I want to share with everyone is that if I can do it, you can do it as well. I was in over $25,000 of credit card debt. I had $56,000 in student loan debt. My income was all over the place, and listen, I just hated to budget, look at my numbers, and I couldn't even tell you what my credit score was. Thanks to this show, I've made huge progress. I have a little over $3,000 of credit card debt still to pay off. I've slashed my student loan debt in half, and I'm happy to say that I look at my numbers every week and I use your 1-2-3 system for my expenses. That was literally the best thing you ever taught me. I've even inspired some of my friends to talk about money, and I can't tell you how good it feels to spend without guilt and to feel in control. I got a full-time job and I'm making all the money moves. It wasn't all easy. Honestly, whoever's listening, I have to tell you that I had moments of panic, doubt, and wanting to throw in the towel. But I kept listening and kept doing, and every day, every week, and before you know it, I saw change. I was like, holy crap, this stuff works. What was I doing all those years? I had everything I needed to make a change. So I'm just sharing this to inspire someone else so that they can change a lot in a small period of time as well. Because when you do the work, wow, you're going to get the return. I'm so happy these days I could just scream, in a good way. Thank you so much, Shauna. Honestly, you've changed my life and my family's life in ways that you'll just never know. Rachel, I am so excited that you shared this with us. Thank you so much. And I hope that your words do inspire somebody else listening. And again, I say this time and time again, anybody who shares a testimonial like this, you did the work, not me. You just listened. You picked what worked for you. You picked what works in your life. And then you just started at one place. I think so often I get asked, how do I start investing? How do I begin to start saving for a house? How do I pay off my debt? How do I get on the same financial page as my spouse? And it sounds really simple, and yet it is, but it just is one step. It's taking one step. It's making one different decision or one conscious decision to change something, whether that's a habit or a behavior or a pattern or just empowering yourself. You're not going to pay off $25,000 of credit card debt overnight or $56,000 of student loan debt overnight. I wish you could. I really honestly wish you could. But I know that that just doesn't happen. And it does take effort. It does take work. But it also starts from one single decision to change something. For me, that was to really be conscious about my spending and where my spending was going and redirect spending towards debt that I could redirect. And before I knew it, I was able to redirect a lot of money by using some of the tips that I suggest often and so many guests do, by negotiating my cell phone bill and my internet bill and utilities and getting the annual fee on my credit card waived and all of these different things. I started to have extra money that I could really put towards debt payoff. So I'm so glad, Rachel, that you shared this, and I'm so inspired by your story. Your story makes me want to further commit in my own financial life. So if you're listening, thank you for sharing this. Amazing job, amazing work. And let Rachel's words be something that inspires you today to make one simple change. That one simple change is going to ripple out. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. I've got so many more questions for Cassius and Kenneth, so let's jump back into the conversation and keep it going.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So, you know, Cassius, I'm curious. I know you guys started a company called Owner, and, you know, it's specifically around NFTs for artists and athletes. You know, what's the benefit? You're an NFL player, an athlete. Like, what's the benefit of NFTs for these specific, like, individuals?
So the benefit to me is, you know, first and foremost, a lot of these athletes are put in a position like where you're not able to take advantage of your likeness. And a lot of times, the NFL, basically when you become a part of one of these leagues, they are allowed to use your image and create whatever they want. Using your likeness. And on top of that, people can create t-shirts and anything they basically want. As long as it doesn't have the NFL logo, you really can't go after them for making a t-shirt. Like I've had multiple t-shirts sent to me, with various teams of like a celebration that I do, and like, There's people out there selling that t-shirt, and it's my likeness. It's me playing football, but I don't get any piece of that. And there's no way to go after these people. So, I mean, a lot of athletes are, their likeness is constantly taken advantage of, and there hasn't, you know, historically been a lot of ways for you to profit from your likeness. And I think that what Owner, the reason that Owner came about really, is to help athletes to do that, you know, to profit off of their likeness and have control over, you know, what's being put out there that represents them. You know, for me personally, you know, I've been in the NFL 8 years now, and, you know, you have off the field deals and stuff like that, depending on, you know, how well you play. But even still, it's just like Instagram posts and like very simple stuff, you know what I mean? Right. And so I think NFTs in particular and you know, owner in specific gives players and really actors, actresses, anybody of influence, gives them a chance to, you know, use their likeness to benefit and put something out there that really represents them, that they, you know, we allow our people to come onto the platform and co-produce what, you know, what's being put out there. And, you know, we allow them to, you know, kind of represent themselves how they see fit, rather than, you know, the NFL's type of standpoint where like we're putting out what we want to put out, and that's just, that just is what it is. You know, you don't really have much of a choice. So I think, I know that owner is definitely going to help a lot of athletes, bring in another revenue stream. And a lot of these guys, you know, outside of football don't have a lot of revenue streams. You know, the quarterbacks obviously benefit in big ways, and so do receivers and running backs and superstar players, but there's, you know, probably 80% of the NFL that, you know, outside of football, there's not a whole lot of ways to make money outside of football.
I think that's so crazy too, because as an outsider and a sports fan myself, but as an outsider, we wouldn't think that. Like, I would never think that all of the merchandise that gets created around your name, that you're not profiting in any way from all of that merchandise that's created, that, you know, obviously the NFL is making hand over fist.
Also,
like, you wouldn't think that, like you were just saying, like a large majority of NFL players, you wouldn't think that they don't have extra revenue sources. Like, it's just almost mind baffling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, this is a common assumption, you know, for fans, because they see, you know, these big contracts that guys get, and, you know, and you know, there's a lot of you know, hype around these guys, and like they've got, you know, Instagram followers and stuff like that, or whatever it is, but, you know, outside of the, you know, top 20% of the league, there's not a whole lot out there for athletes in general. Now, basketball players, it's a little bit different, because, you know, you see their face a whole lot more often, and there's a lot less of those players. But like football, especially, you know, being an NFL guy, yeah, it's very scarce, and you really have to find your own niche and have to be creative in how you find those different revenue streams. And I think that's a part of why a lot of guys, you know, go broke after, you know, five years of being out of the NFL.
That's just, I almost like can't believe that statistic. It's just crazy. Yeah, but I know, let alone if you're injured, right?
Yeah, I mean, the injury thing, obviously, that if you have a career ending injury, you know, that's something that you can never account for. But yeah, it's I don't know what the statistics are today on like how what the percentage of guys, you know, after 5 years that go broke, but you know, then, you know, people are much more aware of it now. You know, there's a lot of attention being brought to like how that happens. So, you know, guys are, you know, doing a little bit better job of, you know, preparing themselves for the transition and doing other things off the field. But yeah, for the most part, a lot of guys really, really struggle to transition afterwards. And if you didn't make enough money to survive for the rest of your life, you know, you basically have to you have to start a whole new career. You have to figure out your life all over again. And majority of these guys, all they've been doing their whole life is playing football. So, I mean, that is a huge task. And I've watched, you know, a lot of friends and, you know, even my older brother who played in the NFL, like the transition is extremely tough for these guys mentally. You know, you're used to being, the man, and then like overnight you're just not. It's pretty brutal. But you know, the point of all of this is that, you know, owner will give a lot of these guys a chance to create something that can, you know, that can, you know, add some extra revenue and create a way for them to represent themselves the way that they want to be represented.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious, do you guys have any examples of like NFTs that are being created for athletes?
Yeah, we do. So we can't talk about any of them right now as of yet, but we got some pretty interesting things in the works. Cash, do we want to talk a little bit about around your drop and potentially tying in certain you know, aspects of Cash Cards Unlimited, including box
print? Yeah. So you know, for me in particular, my interests are trading cards and like, you know, kind of nerdy stuff. I'm huge into anime and I'm huge into just that world, you know, fantasy and stuff like that. I've always been you know, just heavily indulged in that world. And so, you know, when we went about creating, you know, my NFTs, that was definitely reflected in the NFTs that we created, you know, Dragon Ball Z style stuff and you know, Street Fighter styled stuff and all, you know, all these different animes and really creating something that represents me and myself. And then, you know, part of what our plan is to in conjunction with these box breaks that I've been doing with partnered with my guy Blake Martinez, another NFL player. He's a middle linebacker for the New York Giants. We've been doing these Pokemon box breaks that have been a huge success and a ton of fun. And, you know, it's something that we built into the business, but, you know, we plan to drop some NFTs and, in conjunction with these types of events, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where we're the direction that we're going, because, like Kenneth was mentioning earlier, there's so many like kind of trash NFTs just being dropped and there's nothing behind it besides like just the art at hand. And, you know, we felt that, you know, connecting these NFTs to a memorable event and making, you know, raising the collectibility of them, you know what I mean? Outside of the fact that they're just, you know, Cassius Marsh's NFT. So that's just a small gist of, you know, what my NFTs will entail and like, you know, what the motivation and like kind of the design behind, you know, what we did with my NFTs.
Right. And what I think is really cool, what I'm getting from what you're saying is like, there's a lot of originality in creating the NFTs. So like you're creating stuff that's like really personal to you and other artists and athletes can kind of do that same thing.
Exactly. Rather, you know, instead of, you know, the obvious me playing football turned into an NFT, which is what a majority of players have done. And, you know, obviously Rob Gronkowski is a huge, huge personality. So it works, you know, when someone like him does it, but, you know, if he were to get creative with his NFTs and really drop something, more personal and more custom and more, just something different, I feel like he would have had a lot more success. Not that he didn't, because his NFTs crushed, but you know, I think, you know, owner really is really about the players and really about, you know, representing their clients and giving them, you know, creating something really unique and special for them, not just putting out like whatever we can quickly, because, you know, the company is equipped to make an NFT in 4 hours if we really wow. need to. But, you know, that's, you know, just pushing out NFTs, that's what everybody's doing right now. And so we're trying to obviously create an atmosphere where there's a lot more built around these NFTs and the collectability is much higher.
Yeah. That's just so cool. Kenneth, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, Cassius, I mean, you fucking crushed it, bro. Like, that's absolutely spot on. The one thing I think we like to highlight about Owner is that we work in tandem with the athlete, with the entertainer, with the artist, with the musician, right? So it's very much like a white glove service. We very much are involving them in every step of the design process, so that we can create something truly unique for them, as opposed to, you know, another football player tries to create a digital football card, right? That's kind of been done to death. We want to further the fan experience and bring them into the lives of these athletes outside of the field.
Yeah, it's so cool. Well, I'm curious, where do you guys think NFTs are going to be like in the next 5-10 years? Do you think this market's just only going to explode from here?
I think so. If you kind of look at what Panini and Topps have done with mm-hmm. various, you know, NFT football cards, you know, really, and Cassius and I talk about this a lot, because I have talked about this a lot. I'm a big Magic the Gathering guy as well. I used to, but Cassius is more of a cerebral Magic player than I am. He through, whereas I play, I like to run creatures because I'm an unsophisticated fuck. sorry, I apologize for swearing. I don't know if that's allowed. I can re-record that sound bite.
No, that's okay. Go for it.
Okay, cool. So I think Magic the Gathering was kind of one of the first Wizards of the Coast, rather, were one of the first organizations to really understand digital assets, right? Because they created this entire online Magic platform that's been running since I was a kid, right? I was, you know, Cash, we're basically the same age. I was looking at this stuff when I was in like middle school, like the sort of online duels, and you bought, you had to buy the packs digitally, like your physical packs didn't translate, right? I think they were really like it, really innovative and sort of the first movers in this space. And you see it now. I don't know what they've rebranded it as, Cash. Is it like Magic Arena or something?
Yeah, so they still have the Magic Online platform, which is basically all of the cards going back, but they haven't put as much resources into it. So Magic Arena is like what they launched a couple of years ago. And it's exactly what Kenneth is referring to. They are trading cards, but they are digital property. So, you know, they are tied to your arena account, and, you know, there's a value set on those digital cards. You know, they're not nearly as high as the physical ones, but, you know, that's because up until, you know, recently, digital property is not something that was looked at with a ton of value. So, right. You know, for people who, you know, have invested heavily into that game, you know, they could see themselves, like, I could see in 10 or 15 years from now when, you know, digital property is just like something like a very, it's widely known and you know, much more popular and much more mainstream. I think a lot of those people will have hit the gold mine, because they'll have been collecting these, you know, these digital Magic cards since the beginning, similar to, you know, some of these Pokemon guys who were collecting, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and just been stacking up and staying in it and being, you know, just collecting because they love to collect and they love to play the game, or, you know, they're now profiting in a huge way because of, you know, what Pokemon has done lately. And, it's the digital assets and digital currency is just in its infancy right now. And so I can, you know, I see those things just, you know, starting to explode, as they are kind of right now in the NFT space. But I think that, other digital assets are going to benefit from all of this NFT, business as well.
I like the gold mine phrase. That's a good one.
yeah.
You guys have an amazing, like, so much information. So if I'm listening to this episode and I'm really interested in NFTs, I'm interested in Owner, tell me, like, where do I go? Where do I learn more about this?
Yeah. Come visit our site, owner.world, O-W-N-R, period, W-O-R-L-D. And then also, I think, you know, I'm pretty accessible. So, you know, feel free to reach out on Instagram or Twitter. We're super responsive. My personal Instagram handle is Curate, CURATENYC, Curate NYC. So if there's any questions or concerns or anything, please feel free to hit me up.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'm pretty accessible as well. IG is the best for me. Yeah, Cassius Marsh is my IG. It's pretty straightforward. And then, we're both pretty accessible. We both enjoy talking about these types of things. I'm heavily into the collectible space, so this just fits in perfectly to, you know, my kind of daily grind. I'm always here at the shop working and helping to build this business here. And, you know, we've had a lot of success, but as a high performance athlete, I have like really high standards for what I do. And so, you know, I enjoy the grind, and obviously, you know, playing games all day and dealing with trading cards is a ton of fun. And, you know, people probably laugh when I say it's a grind, but I mean, you know, anything that you work hard at, it, you know, can be a grind. It's just, you know, it's just fun for us rather than some people, you know, not really enjoying their jobs that much.
Whether NFTs are something you want to own or not own, I know I got super educated in this conversation. Plus, I loved learning from Cassius how important it is for athletes and entertainers to have control over their image. It really just blows my mind that they don't. And I just think that digital collectibles, NFTs, anything digital is going to be the wave of the future. And it's going to be really interesting to see where this movement goes. So if you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with a friend or family member who you think also would love to learn about NFTs. And as always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to Cassius and Kenneth, as well as our episode sponsors. Be sure to hit follow in your favorite podcast player right now to make sure you never miss an episode. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new one.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.